Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Ask somebody, where is Jesus? And most Christians will tell you, he's in heaven. He's safely in heaven. Kind of like the roast that you buy on Sunday, put in the freezer, because you're not going to eat it this week. Maybe next week you put it safely in there, close the door, forget about it. It's there. It's safe and sound. But you're not really going to worry about it, are you? Jesus is the long-distance Savior, kind of kept on ice until we really need him. And when he shows up, it's kind of a long-distance relationship. Or they'll say Jesus is everywhere, which is not very helpful either. I mean, things that are everywhere tend to be nowhere. You can't really put your finger on them. Can you put your finger on Jesus? Can you say that you know where Jesus is to be found? We're going to be talking about the means of grace. Pastor Marcus Zill is our guest. You can join us as well, 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Pastor Marcus Zill is campus pastor at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming. He's executive director of Christ on Campus for Higher Things, and he's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled About the Father's Business. Marcus, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Good to be back.
Yeah, good to see you briefly, ever so briefly. I make these trips up to Wyoming every year, and people will always say, did you see Zill? And my response is always, barely. I mean, you might stick your head into the banquet occasionally. See you passing in the hall. You must be busy during these soirees.
Well, there are about 300 people there, and I was spending a little bit of time with my college students, so I took up for the event. But it's good to see you a little bit up there, too.
You're a dedicated campus pastor. That's what it is.
Well, I try.
Yes. Can you actually say to one of your college students when they show up on campus, come here Sunday morning because Jesus is going to be here?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I've gotten to the point as a campus pastor and as a pastor where I just, you can throw almost every evangelism program out the window, everything else that young people are doing in their lives, and just saying, hey, just get to church because that's where Christ comes to meet you. Sometimes I feel a little bit guilty when they don't want to do all the fun stuff that we have offered. And then I kind of repent of that and say, hey, as long as they're coming to where Christ comes to meet them, what more could you ask for as a campus pastor?
So how can you point to what happens on Sunday morning in church and say, here's Jesus? How can you do that?
Well, the first place I start with is trying to help young people understand when we invoke God's presence, when we call upon the name of the Trinity, and where God says that he promises to, wherever two or three are gathered in his name, there he will be there in their midst. And that's what we do when we gather together. We stop everything else that's cluttering up our lives, and we gather to where he promises to meet us. We call upon his name, and we have confidence that that he is there to bless us and give us his gifts.
How do we know that he's there in those things?
Well, because he attaches his promise to his word and to his means of grace. Wherever he promises that he says that he's going to put his name, there he is to bless.
So how does that look on Sunday morning? Because people would say, well, Jesus is going to be there. If I'm not going to actually see him physically, I'm certainly going to sense his presence somehow. Then there are a lot of churches, I'm sure several near the campus there in Laramie, that promise that if you don't see him there, you'll certainly feel him there.
Yeah, that's of course the big thing is trying to create his presence. Many churches do by trying to create this feeling and the groundswell of emotion to try to look for his presence within inside of you, to bubble it up within inside of you. But here, We encourage people to come and to lose themselves and to come and let God work in them, really by hearing His word and receiving His gifts.
Let's talk about those gifts one at a time, beginning with baptism. How is Christ there and actually doing something for us in baptism?
Well, in holy baptism, we have the sure and certain promise of God that He is coming to us to, we really ride through Jesus' coattails through His death and resurrection and receive through that incredible act that He has done for us what He promises to give us, namely forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation.
What about the Lord's Supper? How is that different from baptism?
Well, baptism is our initiatory life in Christ. The Lord's Supper has more to do with our ongoing receiving of nourishment and forgiveness of sins. Sometimes my colleague out here, Sean Cum, always refers to the Lord's Supper as edible forgiveness, that God comes to us in a way that we can see and feel and touch. And in this case, He does it concretely through the Word of God joined to that bread and wine for us Christians to eat and to receive forgiveness. And so we have edible forgiveness when we receive the Lord's Supper.
Okay, so baptism, the Lord's Supper, what else?
Well, of course, you have the words of absolution, that we have a chance to come in here where God not only loves us enough to promise to be present with us in the service, but sends His own emissaries, if you will, His ambassadors, and the men that He has set up to serve as His pastors and under-shepherds to proclaim His words directly into our ears so that we can hear that forgiveness and receive it as if it had come directly from Him, which it does.
Is this a hard sell? I mean, when you talk to young people coming onto campus in this manner, and you tell them, be in church, this is where Jesus will meet you, this is where Jesus, I might say, you know, Jesus is waiting there. It's not as though, you know, we show up and then He kind of shows up later. Is it a difficult sell with them?
Well, on the one hand, it depends who you talk to. If you talk to our Lutheran students, it's not a difficult sell. In fact, they instinctively know that the place where they need to be to come into contact with Jesus is in church. They can tell me all they want, oh, well, you know, I'm going to go up to the mountains to pray, or I'm going to take time in my dorm room, or this, that, and the other thing. And to some degree, you know, of course, our personal piety and devotional life is important. But usually when they try to play that on me, I know that they know that they're not really doing it. But they still instinctively know that the place to gather together to receive Christ's gifts is the rhythm of the life of the church, where the bridegroom comes to meet his bride, where heaven intersects with earth. Now, if you're talking about students that have no relationship to Christ, they have absolutely no clue, and it makes no sense to them, of course.
So this is not necessarily a conversation that you're going to be having with someone who is an absolute novice to the Christian faith. How would you approach it with them?
Well, I think typically speaking with a novice, you got to begin where they're at, and with those who are already rooted at least somewhat in the life of Christ, they know instinctively to where they need to go to meet God. But in reality, with the novice, you have to talk to them about where they are at in their life, why their life is so screwed up. In many cases, it has to do with their own realization that life seems meaningless and they're searching for meaning. And so you start where they are and you move them to where you can tell them about where true meaning can be found. In many cases, the college students are searchers. They're searching for God. They may not realize it, but they're searching to find meaning. And what they need to do is to quit their searching and allow themselves to realize that God is searching out for them in the person of Jesus.
What does that search look like? I mean, you walk onto a campus. There will be the kids who are actually, you know, sitting around consciously searching for meaning in life or some kind of significance. And then there are many others that you say don't even know that they're searching. What does that look like?
Well, I think today's typical college student that doesn't have a relationship to Christ simply looks numb and dull to the world. They receive so much. They live so much in the gray, and so much that they're searching for something that's black and white, something that's concrete, as I often say, and you've probably heard me say before. They're looking for something authentic, but they don't know where to go to get it. And so in many cases, the novice, the unbeliever, is attracted to anything in which somebody actually has something that they strongly are convicted about and believe in and are quite passionate about it. And of course, that's where I think that we as Christians have an awful lot, as confessional Lutherans, have an awful lot to offer to someone that is looking for meaning in the black and white when they live in a world of gray.
Well, when we come back from this break, we're going to continue our conversation with Pastor Marcus Zill on the means of grace, where Jesus is to be found, where he's promised to meet us. Marcus Zill is campus pastor at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming, executive director of Christ on Campus for Higher Things. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled About the Father's Business. It's Wednesday, February the 4th. You can join us. We're coming to you live. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. And our in-studio email address, we take your questions and comments in real time right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. My experience with young people is that they have pretty well-tuned radar. They can spot a fake and a phony, and when they're being marketed to and when they're being sold. After all, this generation has been marketed to and sold their entire life. Everything in their lives has been sold them. And they have very little patience and very little stomach for that kind of nonsense. So how do we present the authentic Christ through his authentic means to this tired and worn out generation that has been sold so much so far? Stay tuned.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Stephen Luer, Sherry Lester, Laura Murphy, Marlene Walker, Donald Burgett, Lewis Friend, Jeffrey Locks, Jeanette Reinke, and Clara Ball. Thanks for your support.
Here's a new way to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can now donate stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. in 2009. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho, Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri, Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa, St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa, Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri, Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri, the Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California, Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we begin a weekly series on the Augsburg Confession. This is the first and kind of foundational document from the Lutheran Reformation, the very first and foundational document of the Book of Concord, that set of Lutheran confessions that defines what the Lutheran Reformation is really all about. It'll be part of a roundtable tomorrow. Pastor Will Whedon, Pastor Tim Rosso, man, these are some good folks on here. We'll be talking about the doctrine of God. That's where the Augsburg Confession begins, and then it quickly moves on to central issues. Although God is central, we need to establish God, and then we move on to things like justification. Tomorrow, the doctrine of God on our pastor's roundtable. Pastor Marcus Zill is our guest. We're talking about the means of grace. Pastor Zill, I know you know this probably better than I ever could, and that is that this generation of young people raised by television, marketed to mercilessly, have very little patience for the kind of the slick marketing. You said before they're looking for something authentic. What did you mean by that?
Well, these kids have seen it all, and they can see the BS a mile away. They grew up with the, I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. They can see it. They really, really have quite they can gauge the temperature real quick in a room of whether or not someone's being straight with them. And, of course, that makes it incumbent upon us to be straight with them so that they will want to hear what we have to share with them. And so one of the best evangelism tools we have, especially on a campus, is just daring to be Lutheran. I know that's our higher thing, sub-slogan or whatever. But the bottom line is that is what is attractive this age is the fact that that someone is daring to be straight with them and that they can see that conviction a mile away just as easily as they can see when somebody's pulling the wool over their eyes.
Okay, so a Lutheran church near campus that has decided that they want to distance themselves from Lutheran teaching and practice, they want to imitate the Baptist or the Pentecostal non-denominational church, is not likely to be taken seriously for long by someone looking for authenticity, really looking for authenticity.
If you're on a college campus and you decide that you want your church to kind of blend in with what a lot of the other pan-denominational outfits are doing, you might have all the trappings that looks like a Lutheran church on the outside, but once they come in, if that's what they see, they're going to say, hey, I can just easily get that somewhere else around here. But what oftentimes attracts them, I know those that will come here, is that we're so incredibly different from anything else that they've ever seen. And, of course, that's in large part because the message that we offer is so different than anything else they've ever heard.
You talked earlier also about certainty, and that is the certainty of Christ's presence for us there on Sunday morning rests in his word and promises. And that strikes me as something that a young person today is also going to find refreshing, someone who actually says, this is true, whether you believe it or not. This is true, whether you feel it or not. This is something that is true outside of you, but it matters because this is for you. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, that's exactly the case, Todd. So much of what passes for religion on a college campus, whether it's what they're actually being taught, in some cases under the radar in some of their classes, or what they're hearing from other people, is that they have to look inside themselves. And young people know that there's nothing good in themselves. They have this, the natural knowledge of their own sinfulness and their own weakness. And so the idea of telling them to look inside yourself, to simply be the best that you can be, and somehow that's going to pass for something that's real and concrete, they realize very, very quickly that they need something that's not inside themselves. They need something to come to them from outside. And, of course, that something is someone, and that's Jesus.
You have written in your article in Higher Things about Jesus as the one account we have of him as a youth, although he's of tender youth, 12 years old, with the teachers in the temple. How do you connect that to our conversation here?
Well, I think it's really important to, as young people are looking for authenticity and looking for something outside of themselves that's concrete and real and true and timeless, the creed moves us. The creed moves right from Jesus' birth, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. if a young person is going to look for meaning in their life, they're not going to find it just by trying to replicate whatever Jesus did when he was their age. They're going to find it by rooting themselves not in that, but in who he was and what he came to do. And so for the college student that wants to know what is the point, that is the point. The point is what Christ came to do. So much of what passes for Christianity and religiosity and spirituality on campus is all tied on what young people are supposed to do. And here they have the chance to just hear what Christ came to do for them.
It's been observed that young people, if they enter college or university, marginally or nominally associated with the church, if nothing else is done, they will probably leave agnostic, atheist, or none of the above. What does the church need to do on campus to buck the trend of kind of educating the faith straight out of our youth?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. We're in an era, unfortunately, where for all the talk of mission and outreach in the church and personal one-on-one conversation with people to help bring them to Christ, never before, at least in my lifetime, have we seen the church stepping away from campus ministry. We lose roughly 90% of our young people who have been rooted in the life of the church when they go to college, and the pressures are incredible of what they face. But the church not only needs to be there, but needs to be there in full force. And we need pastors, not students talking to other students necessarily, but we need people that are rooted in God's Word that will take the time and show these young people that they care. And so it's unfortunate that we're getting away from really funding our campus ministry. If you think about it, for all the talk about being in the public marketplace, college campus is an incubator for that, and we need to have a presence not only for our young people and to reach out to them and to show them Christ and to show them where Christ is to be found, but we also need to be there to challenge that marketplace of ideas and to present the worldview that we have as Christians.
Marcus, you are Executive Director of Christ on Campus for Higher Things. Just tell us a little bit about Christ on Campus.
Well, Christ on Campus is the next level. When someone at Higher Things, we don't just care about where you're at when you're in junior high or high school, but because of some of the things we've talked about here, we're concerned about you remaining rooted in Christ when you leave to go off to the college campus. And so Christ on Campus is more than anything, it's a network of solid campus ministries, Lutheran campus ministries, that seek to be faithful in some of the things that I've talked about here, and to provide a place so that young people going to that college know where they can find Christ. And so we have a network of about 35 chapters, and it's continually growing. We offer various retreats. We also offer a lot of things for those who seek to work with college students on campus, whether it's pastors, deaconesses, vicars in the church, lay people who are interested. And so we seek to try to resource the church to help them reach out to young people with Christ while they're on campus.
Folks, you can find out more about Christ on Campus at our website, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page, issuesetc.org. Pastor Marcus Zill is campus pastor at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming, executive director of Christ on Campus for Higher Things, and he's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled About the Father's Business. Marcus, thanks for being our guest.
Hey, thanks for having me, Todd.
Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is tailor-made for the season we're preparing to celebrate, that is Lent. The book is called He Was Crucified. It's written by a medical doctor. It's a series of reflections on the physical and the mental and the spiritual anguish suffered by our Savior for us in the hours leading up to his death as the sacrifice for our sins. The book is called He Was Crucified from Concordia Publishing House. You can find out more. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Right at the bottom of the homepage, you'll find the cover of He Was Crucified, issuesetc.org. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Ask them about He Was Crucified, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, he was crucified. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. We've got three guests straight ahead. Greg Smith of the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life will join us to explain some of the findings in the landmark survey recently conducted, this huge survey of religious life in America. We'll focus on African Americans, their religion, their religious affiliation, whether or not they are like or unlike the general population when it comes to religion. After that, Jennifer Roback Morse will join us. We'll talk about Ellen Goodman's recent column on family planning. Ellen Goodman says we need to tone down the volume when it comes to the debate over life, and we need to seek pragmatic solutions rather than ideology. And she says ideology seems to be winning. We'll find out what Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute thinks about that on the other side of the break. And then we'll conclude that second hour with Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute, concluding our series on bad ways to argue about abortion, disguising your true position by appealing to the hard case, with Scott Klusendorf in about a half hour. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned for hour two.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.